Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday Interview. I'm Jamila Erickson. I have two guests today that are here to talk about the Guardian Ad Litem program and also the Cape Fear Guardian Ad Litem Association. Lynn Fender is here, a longtime volunteer, and John Taggart is here also. He's the president of the association. So first of all, good afternoon. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes,
you
thank
bet.
You.
First of all, what does the term guardian ad litem really mean, and what do volunteer guardians actually do?
In Latin, it means guardian at law. In practice, it means that we represent the best interests of a child or children in the court. We don't look out for the best interests of the parents or the foster parents, only of the child. That's our sole focus. And when we determine what those best interests are, we write a report to the court and we become the child's voice in court by articulating what the needs are, what the service needs are, and what the best interests are as far as where the child lives. And we make formal recommendations in our report on behalf of the child.
That's really important. I can see how somebody needs to be that voice.
Mm-hmm.
Be an advocate for the child. Now, you cover several counties in your work?
I volunteer with the 5th District, and it covers New Hanover and Pender County,
which
are very different counties in terms of resources available and services available.
Right. How many children in those two counties have guardians?
We are at probably the highest coverage level we've ever had right now at about 96%, and nevertheless, we still have about 20 children waiting for a guardian.
Wow.
So we are looking for more volunteers.
All right. How many volunteer guardians are active currently?
About 135.
Oh, I had no idea there were that many people involved. Wow.
We don't ask guardians to take very many children at a time.
Oh, I'm sure you can't, because it sounds like it's very strong work and it takes a lot of focus and a lot of time probably.
Yes, and we do have full-time employees like John, who are also guardians. And because he's a full-time employee, we probably only have him taking one case.
Yes, I just have one case. It does have 4 children, so it's challenging. There have been other guardians, though, retired guardians, and they take on multiple cases. I remember Al Harrell would have over 15 at a time. And so it's remarkable, you know, what they take on. It really becomes a second career for them.
Wow.
So they really run the gamut, and so they can tailor a case to whatever other responsibilities a given volunteer has.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can take a look and match skills to need. Now, what can you tell us about the children you serve, if there's any average or typical experience? I'm sure that's
difficult. Well, I could relate
to
my first case that I was given back in 99. It was a little girl, and she was removed because of substance abuse. Tragically, 2 weeks later, her mother passed away. And she was in foster care, though, and ultimately the foster parent adopted her. And I ran into her about 3 years ago, and she's doing fine. And so, you know, I always felt that this is a wonderful program for making a difference in society. And I'd been working in environmental things for many years, and I wanted to do something that would help socially. And I knew people who had done this up in the Triangle area. So when I came down here, I, you know, took this up, and it's been 11 years and a very, very wonderful experience, and I had a lot of good people to work with.
That's a beautiful outcome. What are some of the needs that the children have that you serve?
They can run from, I had a child where I had to go into the school system and fight kind of hard to get them evaluated for special educational needs. They can need mental health counseling because very often, unless they're infants, these children have been let down by their parents more than just this one time that they come into our care and our representation. The children run the gamut from coming from low income to middle income to high income families. I've had a Muslim family. I've had a Catholic family. I've had Protestant families. They are all over the place. I've had a couple of very little children, but my experience has been almost exclusively with preteens and teens.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time, haven't you, Lynn?
Not as long as John, it turns out.
Aha.
Well, actually, I had not here as long as John. I've been doing it 6.5 years here and 15 years in Virginia.
How about you, John?
While I work
full-time. It's been 11 years totally for me. Wow. So I guess we've been around.
Yeah.
And you said, Lynn, you were doing this in Virginia while you were working full-time?
Full-time and commuting 2 hours a day, but it wasn't hard. I didn't start doing it until I had empty nest syndrome. And I would either visit the children during my commute home or on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've had cases where the children were placed at Lake Waccamaw, boys and girls home. So sometimes there was a bit of a commute out there. But again, that was the best thing for the children so they could be with their siblings. They didn't have any space here to have the children in the same home.
Oh, it's so much better to keep the children together.
Absolutely. That has a very positive effect.
Very hard to do in large sibling groups, though.
I imagine. Very hard.
Yeah, I've got one now where they're divided between two homes. That was really necessary for other issues. Mm-hmm. ADHD and other things were critical there. And again, right. This relates to the needs that Lynn was talking about. Sometimes they do require medication or special therapy or counseling.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Lynn Fender. She is a volunteer with the Guardian Ad Litem program. Also talking with John Taggart. He's the president of the Cape Fear Guardian Ad Litem Association. Let's talk a little bit about the training that goes into becoming a Guardian Ad Litem. How intense is it? How long does it last? What does it consist of?
Okay. Required training is 25 hours. I am also a volunteer trainer. Every training unit is conducted by one paid staff supervisor in our office and one volunteer guardian, so that the trainees get a lot of opportunity to hear anecdotes from us about real cases that we've had. There is almost no lecture whatsoever. There are a lot of very fun exercises involved in the training. And it's usually in the day, although one training a year is done from 5:30 to 8:30 in the evening to accommodate full-time employees.
And you don't have any prerequisites of folks having legal experience or mental health training or anything like that?
Absolutely not. We run the complete gamut of background and experience.
Mm. I remember during the training, we had some very experienced guardians that were there, and I asked the question, how often does the judge agree with your recommendation? And they looked at each other and said, well, almost every time. And I said, oh boy, we better get this right. So the guardian in court is looked as an objective third party, and that's very valuable. And the judges communicate that to us. So it's an important job and one that really, again, can make a difference.
Are there children that end up going to court without a guardian ad litem? Does that happen?
If they do, they might be represented by our attorney. And by the way, the Guardian program has one full-time attorney on staff and two contract attorneys that accompany the guardian and, if the child is old enough, the child as well, into court.
Good. What is the most difficult part of the job?
Well, I'd say it's just trying to be a good truth detector, because you can get multiple stories sometimes between the parent and DSS and so forth and so on. And you have to be very objective about these things and make, you know, the recommendation that is based on the best available information. So often you have a job of triangulating between facts, really trying to keep up with it, because things can get tricky sometimes and people can be a little bit deceptive. So you've got to be a little bit of a Judge Judy, maybe.
Yeah. I would have given the exact same answer. I have to guard against my gullibility.
Well, even with the children, because some of them coming out of difficult circumstances have learned to lie to cope with what's going on.
And to protect their parents.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to go away. You know, they want to stay with their parents, even though all they know sometimes is a very bad situation and they don't understand that it can be made better.
Yes.
They just want to go back to the parent often, and that makes it difficult.
Yeah, people choose what they know lots of times. Is there other training that happens once you're already a volunteer? Is there follow-up training?
Yes. The day that the trainees graduate from their training, they are literally assigned to and meet a mentor who is an experienced guardian. The mentor has guidelines about how often they need to be meeting with their mentee. And in addition to that, every guardian has a paid staff supervisor in the office, and the guardians all have access to our attorney, whatever attorney has been assigned to that case. Mm-hmm. And then many times a year we have in-service trainings and luncheons where we get to share stories with each other about how our cases are going.
Great. We just have a couple of minutes left. I definitely want to talk with you, John, about the Cape Fear Guardian Ad Litem Association,
yes,
what it is and what its role is in this whole situation.
Well, the association is actually a private nonprofit organization. It's separate from the Guardian Ad Litem program, which is administered through the state court system. And back in 1999, there were three guardians who'd been very proficient in their work with the Guardian program, and they saw there were unmet needs with the children, particularly educational and cultural necessities that couldn't be paid for through foster care funding. And so ultimately, there was a private nonprofit founded in 2001, and it has been going fairly strong ever since to try to supplement the needs. And being a private nonprofit, they can do that.
And what are some of the needs that are met by the Cape Fear Guardian Ad Litem Association?
Well, first of all, the children. We can provide for educational and cultural activities. Also, we can supplement some of the training for the guardian ad litems because the state budget recently has been pretty tight. That's no secret. And so that has been very beneficial as well. And also, we want to try to promote the awareness of the needs of children who are neglected, abused, and dependent.
They've paid for a very sophisticated calculator for one of my children that was taking an honors math class. They've paid for a better than student quality violin for his sister. They bought me tickets to the Globetrotters so that I could meet the children at the stadium on UNCW campus and take them to the Globetrotters, where I got to see them laugh for 2 hours. Oh, it was fabulous.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, we summer camp is coming up. We get a lot of requests for that sort of thing. Participation in sports is another one. And I've gotten a season pass to Carowinds for one of my girls.
Great.
So it's been very positive.
I'm afraid we're out of time, but I want to thank you both for being here, John Taggart and Lynn Fender. And I want you to tell us how people can find out more about this.
I can give you the website for the Guardian Ad Litem Association, and that gives you information about both programs, really.
Great.
And that's www.cfgala.org.
Okay.
And the phone number to call for more information to volunteer if you don't want to go to the website is 251-5753.
Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
So much for having us.
Thank you.
We really appreciate the opportunity.
This is WHQR.